As we prepare to meditate and listen to the Word of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and for Jesus, through whom you speak very clearly of your love and your grace for us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would open my lips by the power of your Holy Spirit and open our hearts and ears so that we can hear your word and your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today, people, I'm beginning a sermon series. It will be a three-part series called Learning to Hear the Voice of God. And I think that this is absolutely essential for us as Christians to learn to hear God's voice, to learn to know what he is saying to us and how we can understand his will for us. So as an intro, I want to talk to you a little bit about the cochlear implant, also known as the bionic ear. Were you aware that it was an Australian man who developed the bionic ear? His name was Graham Clark, Professor Graham Clark, and he was researching the interface between the human brain and electronics, and particularly focusing on how people could hear, how deaf people could actually hear. And he developed the bionic ear, which is an implant where the electronic connections go into the nerves of the ear and actually help deaf people to hear again. The first cochlear implant or bionic ear operation happened in Melbourne, in this city, on a man called Rod Saunders in the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital. And Professor Graham Clark said that when Rod had the implant and he could hear again, the professor went out into a separate room and he wept. He wept tears of joy because he had been able to help this man hear. I actually have a couple of videos which show people with the bionic ear or the cochlear implant hearing for the very first time. These are quite moving, and so I'm going to play them for you now.
Yeah.
Can you try?
Yeah.
What about Lynn's voice?
Can you hear mine?
Keep going.
Oh, do you want me to talk some more?
Oh, really?
What does it sound like? What does it sound like that you can hear now?
It sounds deep.
It
sounds very deep. Yeah. Just having to get from all of your voices, it just feels this little bit of sound breaking through.
Good.
It's so awesome.
You might have noticed the title of that video clip, Try Not to Cry Challenge. Isn't that incredibly moving? To see people and how they respond when they're able to hear for the very first time. Now, there were two words used in those two clips. The first one was awesome, and the second one was normal. And hearing the voice of God for Christians should be both awesome and normal. Now, I know that this is a little bit of a dangerous area in some ways because it can be misused. The teaching about how to hear the voice of God can be misused. And a misuse of it might go something like this. Well, haven't we all heard people who've come to someone, we've heard stories like this where people have come to someone and said, you know, God told me to marry you. And the other person has gone, well, he hasn't told me that yet, right? So sometimes the teaching about hearing the voice of God can be used in bad ways to manipulate people. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't teach about how to hear the voice of God. It means that we should teach well and how to do that biblically. So I'd like you to have a look at your sermon outline and to answer the rhetorical question, can we hear the voice of God? The answer is absolutely. And it should be for us both awesome and normal. It is awesome to hear God's voice, and we are actually created as people to be in conversation with God. That's what normal Christian life is meant to be like. So how do we go about that? In In chapter 6 of Ephesians, after Paul has talked about spiritual warfare, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, I've become convicted and convinced that praying in the Spirit simply means having a normal and awesome conversation with God as a part of everyday Christian living. So that's something that Paul commands us to do. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And the Holy Spirit, as we'll unfold, is the one who helps us to hear the voice of God. I want to talk to you very briefly about the dynamics of prayer, first of all. And before you look at your sheet, what do you think prayer means, or what is what we're normally taught that prayer means? And this is not a rhetorical question. What is prayer? First response is?
Asking God for stuff.
Asking God for stuff, okay. Yep, that's good. Yep.
The first response is talking to God.
Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking God for stuff. Prayer is when we go, dear God, it's me, you know, I'd like this, this, and this kind of thing, please. Okay? However, I put it to you that that's actually got things the wrong way around. And in fact, God speaks, we listen, we respond, and we obey. In other words, it almost flips that kind of Sunday school idea of talking to God on its head. God wants to talk with us. And he wants to be intimate with us and to have a deep and rich and lasting conversation with us. And we listen and then we respond. Eugene Peterson, who is the author of the Message version of the Bible, which some of you may be familiar with, a wonderful paraphrase of God's word, puts it this way. He says, we need to restore prayer to its context in God's word. Prayer is not something that we think up to get God's attention or enlist his favor. Prayer is answering speech. The first word is God's word. And that leads us to understanding that God is actually a God who speaks. Let's have a bit of a look at that through the pages of the Bible. So I've got the same version as all you guys. I can tell you what page we're on. Genesis chapter 1 is going to be right near the start. In fact, it is page 1. there's a bit of other stuff there before that, but that's not numbered. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we have that famous passage, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But then there's seven times that God speaks when he creates. Okay? Verse 3, can someone read that? Verse 3.
God said, let there be light, and there was
light. And verse 6.
And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate.
And verse 9.
And
verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the sky. And verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. And verse 24, and God said, let the land produce. And verse 26, and God said, let us make human beings in our own image. Do you get it? Seven times. And God said, and God said. And what happened when God spoke? What happened when God spoke? Stuff happened. That's right. The word of God is powerful. It's creative. God is a speaking God who speaks the universe and human beings into existence. God speaks. And when he does, it accomplishes something. God calls people in the Old Testament. For example, Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, which is on page 12. Oh, that's, no, 11, sorry. I thought it was going to work, but it didn't quite. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. Who's got it? Read it out nice and loud for us. Thanks, Kathy.
The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your farm, go to the land that I will show you.
Yep, actually skip over to verse 4.
So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed.
Okay, we'll stop there. So God calls Abraham. God says to Abraham, get up, leave your family, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And Abraham obeys, all right? And that is the beginning of God's story with his chosen people. God speaks, someone hears, and they do what God says. Okay, onwards. I'm going on a really quick tour through the Old Testament here. The word of the Lord, the word of God, comes to the prophets. And Nick actually read for us from Ezekiel, the call of the prophet Ezekiel. All right, so God speaks and the prophets listen, and then they speak on God's behalf because they've heard what God is saying. Okay? And God's word accomplishes what it sets out to do. If you turn to Isaiah 55, which is a bit further in, and it's at about page 700 and something, 738. And Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 13. Thanks, Stephen. Nice and loud.
The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. Cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. It out, and it always produces fruit. All I want it to prosper everywhere I send it.
Okay, that's cool. We'll stop there. So God's word always does what God wants his word to do. It always accomplishes something. It brings life, or it convicts, or it helps us to repent, or it helps us to know the depth of God's love for us. Do you think that I've adequately demonstrated through this very quick tour through the Old Testament that God is a God who speaks? Yes? Okay, what about the New Testament? Well, we come to God's most important and powerful word to us, which is the incarnate word, Jesus, right? And if we look at the first verses of John chapter 1, which is at page 1062, and this is a very famous passage about who Jesus is and his power in our lives. Susie, can you read the first couple of verses of John 2, maybe to verse 4?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind.
Okay, so Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. When God wanted to come to the earth, he sent the Word, Jesus. He sent the Word because he is the God who speaks, and when he speaks, life and light happen. Hebrews, the first verses of the letter to the Hebrews also say a similar thing about Jesus, and I'm going to find that one. It is page 1206. I'll read it out. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. So God spoke in the past, but right now he speaks through Jesus. And he speaks his message of love and forgiveness and embracing and calling all people to himself. But when Jesus came to earth, he promised something even better, if that was possible. He promised that God would pour out the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would come and live in us and give to us the living voice of God. Okay? In John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14, which is about page 1083. In John 16, verse 12 to 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and he says that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and reveal God's truth to us. Okay, it goes like this, John 16. I have much more to say to you, Jesus says, more than you can now bear. In other words, disciples, there's so much more, but I can't unfold it all right now. You can't take it. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. Hear that? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit speaks what he hears from the Father and from Jesus, and he makes it known to us. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit is God speaking to us, unfolding more of God's plan and purposes for us than Jesus could even do when he was in a human body on this earth. Now, I'm not going to look at all these verses, but I'll tell you a little bit about what they're about. In John chapter 10, this is down at point 2a on your sermon outline. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice. They listen to me." Now, if that's true, then it's certainly true for us because we are God's people. We can hear the voice of Jesus and we can listen to him. In Revelation chapter 3, again, a fairly famous passage, we have this picture where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them." Now, that's not an evangelistic text. It's Jesus speaking to believers and saying, "I'm out here, you're in there. I want access to your heart. And I will come in. If you hear my voice, I'll come in and I'll eat with you. I'll have fellowship with you." In Revelation, remember how many times did God speak in Genesis 1, the first chapter of the Bible? How many times? Seven. Yes. Always go for 7 or 40. You know, if there's a question about numbers or 12, 12 is good, but it's 7. All right. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, so first book of the Bible, God is speaking. In Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, 7 times the Spirit of God speaks. And he says, Jesus is saying, "Let the churches hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Now, this happens in some radical ways in the New Testament, right? Especially in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, but it should actually be called... Oh, that's good. I like that. It should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 60 times in 28 chapters in the book of Acts. And often, what the Holy Spirit is doing is speaking. Okay, I'm not going to go to all those passages. You can take the sheet home and look them up afterwards, right? But in one place, Philip is walking along this desert road, and the Holy Spirit says, "See that chariot? Go over and stand near that chariot." So Philip, what does Philip do? He goes over and stands by the chariot. And then he gets into this wonderful conversation with an Ethiopian eunuch about the gospel. In another place, the church is praying and fasting and listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, "Set aside Saul and Barnabas for the work that I'm about to give to them." And so they do. So the Spirit in the New Testament speaks directly, audibly, and very understandably to the New Testament church. But what about us, Pastor Nathan? Surely that's not... I mean, that was then, this is now. Maybe some of us don't hear the voice of God. What's that all about? So, does the Spirit speak today? The answer is yes. God never stopped speaking. God never stopped being a God who speaks and who communicates to us. And I'm going to, over the next 3 weeks, and I'm winding to a close on this one, I'm going to unfold 3 ways in which we can learn to hear the voice of God. And sometimes it won't be a direct voice like, "Go over and stand by that chariot," okay? But that's okay. Sometimes it may be, and if it is, we need to learn to hear and to say, "Is this God or is this something else?" And then to actually obey. How do we hear the voice of God? All right, this is a quote from a famous... in the next 3 weeks, I'm going to look at the Word of God, hearing God's voice personally, and hearing God's voice in community. A quote from a famous theologian named Nathan Head. Yes, it is a joke. You can laugh. "If you want to hear God's voice, you need to be immersed in God's Word." Okay? If you want to hear God's voice, you need to be immersed in God's Word. If you look at your sermon outline, the second page. We learn to hear the voice of God first and primarily and most importantly through listening to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that God's Word, that the Scripture, is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching us and leading us into all truth. Now, it's important to know that God will never speak in opposition or contradiction to His written Word. If you want to hear the voice of God, you need to dwell in the Word of God. All right? How do we do that? There's a few suggestions here. This is not exhaustive. If there is a direct command that applies to everyone in Scripture, like do not murder, or be filled with the Spirit, or other commands like that, we read it and then we obey it. Okay? When there's a direct command, we hear and we obey. If there's a promise, like God says, I will remember your sins no more, or whatever it might be, then the correct response is to believe it, to hear it and to believe it. We need to hunger for the Word of God. And I encourage each of you, after you go home today, to pray, Lord, give me a hunger for your Word. Open it for me. Let your Holy Spirit be at work through it. Help me to hear what it means for me and how I'm meant to put it into practice in my life. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. People of God, we need a hunger for God's Word. We need to know that this is not some boring old book, ancient text, but it actually speaks in a living way to us and makes it both awesome and normal to hear the voice of God. Now, here's a really good way to hear the voice of God through Scripture, and that is to meditate on it. And perhaps we're not very practiced at this in some ways, but Martin Luther suggests that to meditate on the Word of God is to have it like a herb, an aromatic herb in our fingers, and to rub it and to sniff it and to kind of taste it. And a really good way to do that is to, in your Bible reading, if there is a word, a single word or a phrase that's really standing out to you, just sit with that phrase. Repeat it to yourself. Invite the Holy Spirit to open it up for you. It might be children of God. You know, imagine how awesome it would be to meditate for a while on being children of God. Or it might be forgiven. Or it might be the Holy Spirit, or whatever it might be, to take that word or phrase and to roll it over in our mind and really dwell in it. And I find that when I do that, that God speaks powerfully, not necessarily in an audible voice, but certainly through a sense of His presence and an impression of what He's leading me to do through that Scripture. I suggest that we need to read Scripture deeply and consecutively, that we need to read our way through, for instance, the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, or through one of Paul's letters, and just let it sink in. You won't take it all in. There's a lifetime's worth there, but to let it sink in to us. And then also study it with others. It's really good to get other people's viewpoints on Scripture, and sometimes that opens up the voice of God for us. And finally, maybe three sermons. And what you can do is pray for your pastor, all right? Pray for him to have, or her, to have the Holy Spirit. And as they're preparing their sermons, pray for them throughout the week. Pray for them as they come to deliver the sermon. Pray for yourself that your heart would be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And I know Mandy's told me, and I'm going to pick on her. Mandy has told me, Pastor Nathan, sometimes your sermons, they've just hit the spot. I don't know how you do it. It's like, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like you're talking to God about my life. I'm going, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And there's the voice of God opening up God's Word. Now, I'm going to stop here. I'm drawing to a close. However, next week, Can I encourage you that I'm going to be unfolding how do we hear the voice of God personally? What would it be like those first videos of the cochlear implant, for us to hear God's voice? It's both awesome and it should be normal for us, because God is gracious and God is a God who speaks. And just one little teaser or taster for that. I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Spirit? What are you saying, Father? And then run it through all of these lenses of scripture and community and discernment and all that kind of thing, because God is a God who speaks, and he speaks today, and we can hear his voice. And I'm going to get onto that next time. So I'm excited. I hope you are too. And I hope that this encourages you to dwell in scripture and to start listening for that still small voice of God. Yes, please. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give a brief time for question and comment, and then we'll hopefully have the children back in soon, and we'll go on with our worship service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God who speaks. You speak the universe and ourselves into creation. You speak through your Son Jesus and your Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on your people gathered here this afternoon, that you would open our ears, open our hearts, give us a hunger for your word, and help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.